All right. Welcome to part 7 of our series, Summer at Crosspoint. This has been a wonderful series of taking 7 weeks this summer of different speakers and just bringing life to the church. Can I tell you what that meant was that the pastor took a 7-week sabbatical from speaking. And so everybody, have you really enjoyed this series? Come on, those of you that have been part of it. See, they're clapping because the pastor took a 7-week sabbatical. But anyway, it has actually been a phenomenal time, a refreshing time of just giving some different perspectives of different people. Most of them have been within our church, and we had one actually a guest speaker that came and just breathed life. And I just have really been encouraged by what we've been sharing through this series. And if you have missed any of this series, you can go online at crosspointworshipcenter.com, and there we have all those messages archived. You can download the messages there, the notes there as well, and we'd be glad for you to just check out some of those life-giving messages. Before I do anything else, I want to say a heartfelt warm welcome to those who are just now joining us live online. Come on. Come on, everybody. Let's welcome them with us. Glad to have you along for the ride. Today's going to be a phenomenal day. Jeremy Edwards, I have gotten to know him and his family, and they are just a tremendous blessing to us in our lives and just in our church. I've watched them come in and just encounter God's presence, but also I've just watched them grow. And as a family, as individuals, Dana and Jeremy and Kenneth. Kenneth is awesome, man. They got little Kenneth here. And just so thankful for them and their heart. And I ask Jeremy to be a part of this series. In fact, he's going to be our grand conclusion. We're concluding this series today. He's going to be speaking. Next week, we're going to be beginning a new series as we go into our 21 days of prayer. And we've entitled that The Secret Place. You want to come back next week. It's going to be awesome. They're going to let me speak next week. They're going to let me come back. So we'll see how that goes. But today is just going to be awesome as we conclude this series. Jeremy Edwards is a phenomenal guy who has a true heart, has been a leader here on our team, on our dream team. He actually makes some awesome coffee, and he serves on our greeting team. And he's led a small group here, our men's small group, and just has a real heart for God and for people. And so, but he's going to share some things that I think are really going to impact our lives because he's going to share what has impacted his life. And I believe it's going to impact your life. And so, anyway, we're honored to have him come and so just would you do me a favor? Would you welcome Jeremy Edwards? Jeremy, come and make yourself at home, brother, because you're at home. All right. Awesome.
All right. First of all, thank you all for being here today. It is an honor to speak with you. This is my first time being on stage speaking with somebody, and so a little bit nervous, bear with me, but I can't thank y'all enough for being here and how much it means to me. I got to say, first thing is everybody looks great here. So the first thing I want to do is I want everybody to turn to the person on their left and say, you look great today. And now I want you to turn to the person on your right and say, this is the way God made me. Wonderful. So for those of you who don't know, my name is Jeremy Edwards, and I was born and raised here in the great city of Charlotte, North Carolina. I grew up in a church, so I've always had my faith in the Lord. However, growing up in a church and living for God can be very two different things. And I loved going to church. I loved being with my friends. I loved the youth group. I loved everything that church meant to me. But I didn't commit my life to God. I didn't follow up with my relationship to God. And so today we're going to talk about a little bit of a story that happened in my life, my salvation, the day I was saved, the day I met God and talked with Him. and he showed me what he wanted for me. So, our first slide today is going to show, what can I do for God? Got a slide there? Okay, well, what can I do for God? A lot of the time, we ask the wrong question, is what can God do for me? And somebody first coming into their faith, that was my question. What can God do for me? And I'm going to start you off with the first scripture that I ever learned. And it was an assignment in my church when I was just an adolescent, just a little older than my son is now. We were in a children's church, and they asked us to memorize a scripture in the Bible. Well, the first scripture that came to my mind was John 3:16. For God so loves the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That showed me what God did for me. It's good to know that God's love is eternal and that he'll be with you for eternity. And that we have that opportunity, that we are all his children, and that God uses us every day and stays with us through the good times and the bad. Sorry. So, there was a time in my life, I was about 13 years old. I was in the youth group in my church, and like I said, I loved going to church. I couldn't help but feel that there was this missing part of my life, that there was something missing. I was almost empty. I was happy. What was I missing? I had a loving family. I had great friends, a great church. But I knew there was something missing in my life. There was something stopping me from progressing and growing in my faith. I went through being bullied at school. I went through a lot of rough things. I had all these thoughts going through my head, telling me that I was alone, that you're missing something and you're not going to find it, that you're lost. And for a 13-year-old, that's a lot to deal with. A 13-year-old shouldn't have to deal with these feelings, with something that could hold them back so much. And so I have a picture for you today that shows a little bit of the feelings and the words that I heard and what I thought of myself. You see some of these: worried, stressed, defeated, unbeliever, weird, alone. These are things that nobody should have to feel. These are things that held me back and put me in a dark place, even at 13 years old. Feeling like I was happier than ever, but there's still something missing. And, of course, everybody was, at the time at school, I was being bullied, so everybody's telling me that this was my life. This picture right here described my life at that time. And something that I heard recently that I realized is that I didn't know God. Here at Cross Point, that's the first thing we want for you. When you come here and you want to move next in your faith, we ask the first thing that you do is you get to know God. I knew of God. I had heard about him. I had talked. I had prayed with him. But I didn't know God. And that was my first step in what I was doing wrong. If anybody here feels that, or someone told them that this was their life, if you feel like this is your life today, I would like to move to our next slide and tell you this. Remember what God says about you, not what anybody else says about you. So, starting off my salvation story, like I said, I was 13 years old, and I was in a youth group. And Has anybody heard of a Choir of the Fire? It's a concert for youth, and it's basically a Christian rock concert. And when I was asked to go, I was like, all right, I'm going to hear some good music. I'm going to get to hang out with some good friends. Not once did I think this day was going to change my life, that this day was going to show me something, that God was going to show me something that changed the course of my life. So my best friend and a girl that was in our youth group that I was also really good friends with were encouraging me to go. So we go out. It's in Greensboro, North Carolina. A lot of my family don't even know this about me, that I was saved in Greensboro, North Carolina. So we go to this concert. First day is great. We're listening to music. Everything's going well. And I remember this. The next day we got there, we listened to music. And the music calmed. And this is a really loud place. This is a Greensboro Arena concert. You know, you could imagine it being real loud. This video came on of Passion of the Christ. And it was just a trailer. It showed Jesus being crucified. It showed him being whipped. It showed him being nailed to that cross. People denying him that were once standing with him. And as John 3:16 says, God did this for each and every one of us so that we wouldn't be condemned, that our sins would not define us as who we are, that we would not be labeled by our sins. Wow. So this video comes on, and I'm watching, and I just dropped to my knees. I dropped to my knees in front of everybody, and I started praying. Sorry. God, why me? Why us? What have I done to deserve this? Why did you send your son to die on this cross so that I could sin and not have to be persecuted for it, so that all these people here, I don't understand. I need you. Talk to me. I start tears flowing down my face. And about that time, I felt like somebody put a cloak over me and that everything else in the room went quiet. And I heard a still whisper in my heart. And that still whisper was telling me, because you are my son, because I sent Jesus to die for you and all of y'all, so that you would not be condemned by your sins, so that you would not be persecuted, but that you would have eternal life with me, that you should never feel alone, that you should never feel the way people tell you you're supposed to feel. I'm the one who tells you what to feel. Amen. I'd like to read a scripture that came to me the time I was coming up with this message. And remind you, I felt this cloak come over me, and I felt just like everything else in the room had went quiet. And it hadn't. But that still small voice was speaking to me and covering over me, and that was God. Well, let's look at what he says in Psalm 91, verse 4. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. And I took the time to look up rampart, because I'm going to be honest, I didn't know completely what that meant. So rampart means to fortify or surround with. I don't know how to describe what I felt other than this. The Lord had covered me and shielded me so that nothing else could hinder me at that moment, that I could have this conversation with him. Isn't that great? Isn't that great that the Lord does that for us? There's a time and a place where if you feel like you need to talk with God, you can always talk with him. You can always discuss anything with him. He will encourage you. He will build you up, and he will walk with you in your walk of faith. About the time I was talking with God, I'm crying, I felt this hand sit on my shoulder. And I'm going to be honest, I was kind of freaked out by it. And when I was done praying, I looked to my side, and the girl in my youth group, Alicia, she was a good friend of mine. She had her hand on my shoulder, and I stood up, and I gave her a hug. And she said, I have been praying for this moment for you for a very long time. Praise God that somebody was praying for me that day. Today might be your day. Maybe you haven't kept up your relationship with God. Maybe you've never met God. Maybe you don't know God, but you know of Him. Today might be your day. Open your heart and open your mind so that make yourself vulnerable to Him today. Our next slide is something to help us get, something to help us in our faith with God. If you want to know, how can I get closer to God? What's my first point? What do I need to do? Well, prayer. Just as she prayed for me. Prayer is one of the strongest things you can have in this life. One of your strongest communications with God. Prayer goes a long way. And it's our stepping stone to our faith in walking with God. So, I have this beautiful, beautiful conversation with God. This person was praying for me. I had exactly what I needed at this time. And I started living out my life with this positivity, with this encouragement that nothing could stop me, that I was no longer alone, that I was no longer depressed, that this hole was filled, that God had came in and filled this void in my life to make me complete so that I could experience life for the first time. So I've got a picture showing how those words, how those thoughts and the feelings that I had changed, how my life had changed. It's not the right one. There we go. Faithful, believer, mercy, hope, saved, friendly. I wanted other people to experience this. I went and told everybody I could. You have no idea what I experienced this week. And some of them, oh, yeah. I've heard that before. Yeah, well, I don't think you understand. Let me pray for you right now because somebody prayed for me and I want to help you. Amen. So there's a question. God did all this for us. And I know a lot of people think this, especially newer in faith. What does God want in return? What does He want in return? The answer is simple. How many fathers do we have in here today? Raise your hand. How many mothers do we have in here today? Raise your hand. Because see, it's parenting, we all know it's equal. It's not that much different. We all have our part. Well, what do we want for our children as a mother, as a father? And that's going to lead us to our next slide, is a relationship with you. That's all He asks. As a father, what do we want for our children? What do we want from our sons, our daughters? We want to spend time with them. We want to be there for them. If they fall down, we want to be the first person to run and pick them up and say, you're okay. You know why you're okay? Because I'm here. And you don't have to go through this alone. When they're feeling down, we want to be there for them and pick them back up. Even when they're going through their best day, we want to hear about it. Tell me. That's all that God wants for us, people. When you're feeling down, pray to Him and ask Him for help because He'll always be there for you. Even when you're having a great day, thank Him for it because it's all because of Him. Without Him, this is not possible. Amen? So how can we continue our relationship with God? How can we build that day by day by day? Well, if you don't already do this, then I challenge you to do this. Just like our first slide said, prayer. So I challenge you. Take 15 minutes out of your day. Take 5 minutes to pray. Take 5 minutes to worship God, whether it's listening to music. And take 5 minutes to listen to His Word. Read the Holy Bible app. It's so easy now. We all have a phone on your way to work, not while you're driving. When you get to work, maybe you're using the bathroom, maybe you're making that first cup of coffee. Use that time to do at least one of those things. because I have started, and I got to say, it will change your life. You will experience life in a whole new way. You will experience God in a whole new way. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31 in the New International Version says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, there is no commandment greater than these. Now these were people asking, "What? We know you set out all these commandments for us, but what's really the most important?" And he said, there is no commandment greater than loving God with that all you are. That's all he wants from us. That relationship, that love, that prayer, to listen to him when he speaks to you, to worship him. Day by day by day, he will continue to grow with you. He will continue to show you that he is with you and that you are not alone. So you may think to yourself, this is great. You've got it all together. You've had it together since, you know, you were 13, since the day you were saved. Well, that's not true. And all these other people that go to church, they have it together. They have more than I do. Well, let me be the first to tell you that they don't have it together. None of us do. No one is righteous. And actually, this is not, I don't have a slide for this, but in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says, no one is righteous, not even one. So no one is better than you. No one can be closer to God than you have the opportunity to be. So I ask you, take that step. Open your hearts, open your mind, and let God take over, because he will change your life. And he'll show you that you don't have to be perfect. We all sin. A lot of people don't understand what sin is. I have to show you. A definition of sin is doing what is wrong or not doing what is right according to God's rules. If God says do not lie and you lie, then you have sinned. If God says do not steal and you steal, then you have sinned. According to God, sin separates you from him. But I've got news for you, people. We all sin. Nobody is perfect. We are all messed up. Again, turn to the person on your left and say, you're messed up. And now turn to the person on your right and say, God loves me anyway. Amen. Amen. So we're all messed up. None of us are perfect. We all sin. And Romans chapter 3, verse 22 to 23 actually tells us a little more about that. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if we all fall short, what are we doing wrong? Why does God still do this for us? Well, that's the way he made us. We're not meant to be perfect. We're meant to depend on him. He makes us perfect in his eyes. In his eyes, you can do no wrong. Yes, you sin, but he gives you the opportunity to repent, to ask for forgiveness, to come to church, to spend time with all these great people. I couldn't ask for anything else, because like I said, none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. You may think that since that day, I had it all together. No. I'm going to tell you a secret. After that day, you're right, I did go to people. I prayed for them. But I spent my teenage years an addict, a thief, and a criminal, because I didn't keep my relationship with God. Because I didn't keep doing what he told me to do, because I thought, oh, okay, everything's all right. I know him. I know of him. I'm all good from here. No. the closer you get to God, the harder the enemy is going to fight you. So I'm not saying it's going to be hard, and I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm just saying that with prayer, with listening to His Word and worshiping Him, doing these things on a daily basis will bring you closer to Him. And the closer you get to Him, the harder He's going to fight that enemy from coming into your life, from that peace missing in your heart, that peace that I was missing. The enemy can try to fool you and make you think that peace is still missing, that he's robbing it from you. Keep your faith in the Lord. Keep your conversation in the Lord. Be with Him, because He will show you that He is that missing piece and that He will forever be in your life. He will not forsake you. He is with you every step of the way. So I spent my teenage years a life of turmoil because I chose it, because I chose not to keep up my faith with God. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel, people. I had a testimonial video around Easter, me and my wife, and she decided she wanted to come to Cross Point, and she had told me about it. I felt like a hypocrite. I couldn't go to church. I couldn't sit in front of these people with all the things I've done, with all the things I continue to do. Yes, I pray to God and I talk to God, but how are these people going to look at me? How am I going to be viewed? The enemy was showing me that I was going back to my first word slide, that I was alone, despair, all these things, that I had to be ashamed of who I was. That wasn't true. So, my wife came to Cross Point, and she came back home, and she told me, she said, "You have to come visit with me. You have to come visit with me." Yeah, I'll make that on my to-do list, you know. I was always working, or I always had something better to do. That was my only day to rest. Well, how many of us know that you find rest in the Word of the Lord? You find rest in God, amen? So, a word of encouragement is that almost 3 years ago, I rededicated my life sitting in that chair right there. The best moment. If I didn't think that when I was 13 that moment could be any better, every time that you lose your way and you come back to God and God shows you what He wants for your life, it gets better and better every time, people. It really does. And it's powerful. It's powerful. In a little while, Pastor's going to come up here and say a salvation prayer. And that is where I found God again. Not only during His Word, but that vulnerability, that surrender, that saying, "Lord, He's talking about me. I'm here. I'm lost. I've lost my way. I need You back. Please show me again what it means to live through You. Show me what it means to walk beside You. Hold my hand in this journey of life, because I can't do it alone." That may be one of you here today. So when Pastor does come up and he says a salvation prayer, whether you're watching online or whether you're here today, if you feel like that's you, please open your heart. Jesus is sitting across the room right now with His arms wide open waiting on you, and I want you to run to Him. Because it will change your life forever. Amen. I'd like to share a scripture, Matthew 19, verse 25 and 26. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Amen. So I live my life by that. That people don't label you as what you are. Your sins don't label you as what you are. That God can only tell you what you are. And He says it in so many different verses that I've shared with you today. That as long as you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, that he will always be with you, that he will forever love you, that you will no longer have to deal with the enemy, that you will get through life knowing that everything is okay. Your finances, give it all to him. Your worries, your stress, your family. Maybe you have something going on today that you're not ready to give up. Give it to him. I promise that void will be filled, that it will be diminished. The enemy will be diminished in your life, and that God will always be with you. Pastor, I'm going to ask you to come up in just a second and do the salvation prayer. But this altar will be open, guys. If you need someone here for you today, please just step forward and come to this altar after the salvation prayer when we play that song, because somebody here needs it today. And I will be here with you. Pastor will be here with you. We'll be here to pray for you. If there's anything we can do to help you, that's what we're here for here at Crosspoint, guys. We want you to be able to give everything to him so that you can live life to the full, that you will experience life, a new life, one that's different from anything you've ever experienced. Amen? Thank you. Pastor, I'm going to ask you to come up.
What a phenomenal message. Amen. Amen. What a phenomenal message. I just love someone that just gets up with simplicity and is authentic and genuine and just says, hey, this is what God has done for me. And he could do the same for you. One thing I'd like to accentuate that Jeremy shared, and that was this thing of relationship. Really, that's all God wants. He just loves us so much, he just wants a relationship with us. And I love the illustration he said about the child and the parent. Guys, it isn't when you got it all together that gets God's attention. You think, if I don't come home with straight A's on my report card, let me tell you something. It's not when you got it all together. It's actually when you've messed up that you get God's attention. Think about it. It's not when your child cries that whiny cry that, and you think, well, they're okay. It's when you hear that cry and you know they're hurt. That's what causes you as a parent to get up and run as fast as you can to their rescue. If you're messed up, and guess what? We all are. God runs to us to rescue us, to put his arms around us, to put that blanket over us that Jeremy described that says, hey, I love you. I'm covering you. I got this. I got you. So I want to do what Jeremy described. I want to lead you in a prayer, simple prayer. And here's what I want to do. I want to help you with the words. So I'm going to lead that, help you with the words with that. But it's not really my prayer. It's your prayer. And all you got to do is mean it. And I'm telling you, God will honor it. And today, God will come on the inside and make everything new. So here's what I like us to do. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I'd like you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front. But right where you're seated, I want to just help you right there make a decision today. My way's not working. I need him. God came because he loves us. He wants to give us a future and a hope. And get this. He is offering this morning. He's offering to pay a debt that you cannot pay. Now, you can pay it. There's a place that the Bible describes as a place, and it's where people go to pay for their debt. But why would you want to do that when God's already paid it for you? That's why he came, to pay a debt. Because we all are in debt because we're short. We fall short of his glory, the Bible describes it. And that's why God sent His Son, to have a relationship with us. He wants us to lean on Him, depend on Him. So right now, make up your mind. If that's you, you say, I need a relationship. I know I need a relationship with you. And it may be you coming to God for the first time, or it may be like Jeremy, you're coming back to God. You say, I know things are not as they need to be. I need a right relationship with God. This is not about joining a church, signing up for anything. This is simply a commitment to say, God, I'm giving you my life. So if that's you today, you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, whether you're here now or you're right here live on watching online, if that's you today and say, if that's me, and I want you to count me in that prayer while no one's looking around, would you just slip up a hand very quickly, very bold, make a decision, and you put it right back down. Good job. So proud of you. Good job. Good job. Yes. Any others? Good job today. Awesome. If you're watching online, join us praying this prayer. Come on. You ready? You ready? Here's what I'd like us to do. If you're one of those that raised your hands, or if you're one of those that hasn't raised your hand, but you just, maybe you've already got a relationship, I want everybody to pray this prayer out loud just to support those that need to pray this prayer, okay? Come on. Everybody, let's just pray this out loud. From your heart, just mean it. Say this. Say something like this. Say, Lord Jesus, today I give you my life. Thank you for paying a debt that I cannot pay. Thank you for dying on the cross that I might live. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for coming for me. God, I open my heart. Come on the inside. Make me brand new. I turn from my past so that you can give me a future. I turn from my way to your way. Thank you, God. Come on, say this one more time. I give you my life. And with all my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. God, I thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer and you've now come on the inside. God, our faith is in you today. And we believe according to your word, not according to feeling, but according to your word. You said if we call on you, you would come, you'd rescue us. God, we confess with our mouth, we believe in our heart. God, we could have a relationship with you. We've done that now. And so right now, Lord, I thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer, and today you're on the you've come on the inside. The past is the past. God, you've given them a brand new future. They're a new person. Everything is new from this moment today in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. God, that you have come on the inside, changed them, God, and given them a new future. And I, along with all of heaven, celebrate, God, their decision, the best decision of their life. I pray for them, God, that they would learn a relationship with you, that they cannot do this on their own, and you've designed it that way. God even wrote your laws even to frustrate us because we can't do it. And you said, of course you can't do it. That's why I'm sending my son so you can have a relationship with me. Oh, Lord, I thank you for that relationship. Lord, I pray day by day you'd help them with their next steps to follow you, to live this thing out, to get in relationship with others, God, God, to walk this journey with you, God. I thank you for it. We give you all the praise and the glory for all accomplished today in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's celebrate changed lives today. Thank you, Lord.